Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 13 and we've been talking about leprosy. So let's start with verse 12. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that has the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. But when the raw flesh appears in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean, it is a leprosy.
Well, this is interesting here.
The
key is raw flesh. There's no raw flesh. And the whole body is covered, is clean. Now, the thought that came to me, and you can take this for what it is there some character flaws in people that does not necessarily make them unclean? Okay? It's just the way they've been trained and all this other stuff. But if it's the flesh rising to the surface, if it's coming out of the depths of the heart, if they're doing things knowingly, then that raw flesh has been revealed, then he's unclean. But for years I've looked at that. How could he be clean if he's totally covered? There's no raw flesh. There's no raw flesh. It's just superficial. It's not out of the depth of the heart, not going below the skin. Okay?
Good. Verse 16. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed into white, he shall come unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague is turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that has the plague. He is clean. I read through 17.
Okay.
Through 17.
And here again, I think it's sort of going right along with what we were saying. To me, the key is raw flesh or going deep. Superficial versus something that's not superficial, something that's going deeper. Raw flesh, it's unclean. There, you encounter people, and here again, Jesus is taking care of everything, okay? But you encounter people, and your first response may be they're unclean. I won't go into detail in all this, but just some situations to where the language of the person to me seemed to be unclean, but the heart was not unclean. The language was just the way they grew up. And so everything hadn't got cleaned yet. A friend of mine was telling me at one time about ministering to a man who had been a very mean man. And right before he died, his mom actually wanted my friend to minister to him. And through a series of events, he was able to sneak in and do it to get by the Gestapo of the hospital, okay? And anyway, he led the guy to the Lord. The guy accepted Jesus. And my friend asked him, how do you feel? And he used a curse word. He felt so blank good. Well, superficially, he says he's unclean. But God's looking at the heart. Not a raw flesh. You follow me?
Yeah, that's okay. Good. Very good. The flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed. And in the place of the boil, there is a white rising, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest.
In other words, the skin's healed, and everything looks like it's okay, but there's some evidence that there's a problem. And so where there's evidence, then it requires closer examination. You can't just pass that off.
Mm.
Okay.
And if when the priest sees it, behold, it is in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof is turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. But if the priests look on it, and behold, there is no white hairs therein, and if it is not lower than the skin, but is somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days.
So when you look at this, there, you can see that leprosy could include all types of skin issues, sores, infection, where there's inflammation. And just because there's something that got inflamed does not necessarily mean that it's leprosy, but you have to examine that to see if that inflammation is going away. Is this healing? Is this clearing up? You follow me? Nothing is taken for granted. And so there's things that are scrutinized. There's things you examine. And there's things that have to be dealt with. And a person should not take offense to being quarantined, so to speak, to be examined. If I'm clean, why would it bother me if you examine me? You follow me? And if there's some uncleanness there, then I probably need to know it. What do you think?
Yeah.
So we can deal with it and get the problem resolved.
That's good. Verse 22, and if it spread abroad much in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stays in his place and spreads not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean.
You understand that this priest is trained in how to recognize. Do you know that a person full of the Spirit of God has subject themselves to be trained to know how to recognize things by the Spirit, not just looking at things superficially? Here again, the priest I'm talking about has a protocol that he follows. It's not just an opinion, but he has specifics that he's to look at, the specifics that he examines. You understand? And so if it's not passing the criteria, he's unclean. And if it's passing, he's clean.
I'm in awe of what the priests were responsible for. All that they had to know. And we were laughing in the office a few minutes ago talking about this man of God and all the things he's been responsible. And he said, you didn't know this came with the job, did you? But you think about the magnitude of when you are a representative of the Lord, there's a lot that we're responsible for, isn't there?
You know, when God gives you assignments, just like the priest has assignments, we generally think of the priest just offering sacrifices, right? But that when it's extended far, far more than that. Here they're examining. They were also the teachers. They were responsible to teach the law, the word of God, to people. I promise you, they had a full-time job. You with me? And I believe that if God has appointed you to a particular position or whatever, that it's going to be a full-time job. And you're going to be doing things that people don't really see, they don't know, they don't appreciate. But you're not doing it for the people. You're working for the Lord. And so you're not looking for accolades and compliments and all that. You just, when you get through, you say, I was an obedient servant. You understand?
Yeah.
And so we have to look at things in the light that the Lord looks at them. Understand who has the responsibility and respect that. No, say, well, I think the priest was wrong. I don't think that's leprosy. I think this person's clean. I don't think that person's unclean. There's things that I've had to deal with in ministry that you know things, but you don't betray confidence. And I have no respect for a minister that betrays confidence. You understand? There's things you know. You take it before the Lord and you get your direction from the Lord. Lord, how do I deal with this? And then let the Lord give you the direction, and it's not flesh doing it. Raw flesh is not coming up. Okay? It's done God's way, following God's protocol. And that's how ministry is to be approached. Seek the counsel of God. We're not nearly as smart as we think we are. You understand?
Yeah.
We need the wisdom of God.
Yeah. Heard that. Verse 24. Or if there is any flesh in the skin thereof, there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burns has a white, bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot is turned white, and it is in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy.
Here again, basically, you get... You have to humor me when I use this word. It's almost like a redundancy because it's basically saying the same thing. If this happens, quarantine him 7 days. If everything seems to be fine, there's no spreading, then you can pronounce him clean. But if there is a spreading, then he's to be pronounced unclean. There could be an inflammation that is not really a disease, and once that inflammation starts waning away, then it's obvious that he's healed and all this type of stuff. Okay.
There's a lot to it. Verse 26, but if the priests look on it, and behold, there's no white hair in the bright spot, and it is no lower than the other skin, but is somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it is spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stays in his place and spread not in the skin, but it is somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning.
It's interesting, it calls it a flaky sore, isn't it? Not something you would really put together, those two words, but anyway, he says if it appears to be on the surface, then there's no black hair in it, then quarantine the person 7 days. Let's examine it more closely. And then after the seventh day, if it had not spread, and there was not a gold-colored hair in it, that it appeared to be so superficial. Now, note this. The person was to shave his head. He wasn't to shave the afflicted area. And then the priest was to quarantine that person for 7 more days. Then they would be examined again. And if the flaky area had not spread, it appeared to be superficial, he's clean. But he had to wash his garments. Then he would be clean. In other words, you clean yourself up, clean your garments up. And there's probably a lot to that. You want to make mention of
it? Yes. When we get to talking about the garments, I told Pete we were reading through this 13th chapter, and we got right to the end. We're going to be reading about the warp and the woof. And of a clothing, because a clothing, a piece of your garment that you wore could be considered leprous. And so we're going to learn that the warp is the vertical thread and the woof is the thread that goes crosswise in the garment. But I said, Lord, why does this matter? And I heard so clearly inside of me, be careful what you surround yourself with. And I've been really pondering on that. Because if you surround yourself with a lot of flesh, you're going to find it's real hard to stay in the spirit. If you surround yourself with a lot of ungodliness, it's just real hard to combat some things. And so, we look at all this and we're reading this, and I got a little bit behind in my reading, and I'm sorry. But all of this to me is pointing to something bigger. I am just convinced within my heart that even though we're talking about flaky skin and gold hair, black hair, white hair, raised sores, I believe it is all pointing to something spiritual. God is spirit. And this is for a reason here. So you think that what does this have to do with me? Why do I need to know that a person had to wash his garments? Here again, I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of being clean. Because all of that goes right back to Jesus. There is no way we can cleanse ourselves without Jesus doing it. And so what do we do today? We wash ourselves with the water, right? The water, the Word of God. We have to continually keep that before us. And you know what? There's some times when we have to get rid of some things to be clean. We're talking about shaving hair. But there are times we've got to remove some things off our own person. We got to take some matters into our own hands and clean up our own house when it's revealed to us, when the Spirit of God reveals to us. I'm not the only one that has to clean house every now and again. You do too.
Ephesians 5:26, I believe it is, talks about the washing of the water by the Word. Okay. Now, just ask yourself this. Just think about this. How many of you would take a shower, take a bath, and put on old nasty dirty clothes?
No, that's no go.
But yet you think of how many people that would say they embrace Jesus, but they clothe themselves with unclean things.
That's real good.
They expose themselves to unclean things.
Very good.
And to me, it's more than just getting this clean, but then what are you going to put on this? You make sure it's clean as well, okay?
It's not a matter of being legalistic, and
no.
We by no means are trying to put anybody under bondage. under the law, so to speak.
It's really just agreeing with the Word of God.
Yes. And there has to come to a point in everybody's life where you just have to throw yourself before the Lord. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be clean. I know what that's like in the natural. I told Pete just yesterday, I want to be clean. I want to be girly. I want to wear girl clothes. I want to be clean. But I had to come in my spirit man. I had to come to that point where I recognized my spirit man was not clean. And I needed Jesus to help me. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be right before you. I don't want to be walking around with this old nasty leprous skin. Cleanse me. And you know what? He can do it. And you know what? He did. And I thank the Lord for it.
Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean
thing. Yeah.
You have to remember this. Keep this in the back of your mind. Israel is a separated nation by God to God. They're not to be like any other nation, any other people. They're to be distinctly different. And so God gives them a protocol, mandates, laws, statutes that will, if obeyed, will keep them distinctly different from all other nations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here again, this is pointing to Jesus. God has given Jesus to us to make us distinctly different from the rest of the world. But we can't say, I love Jesus, and clothe ourselves with the world. You can't hold hands with the world and God. It's choosing. We all make choices. Every day we make choices. We choose where we go. We choose what we think. We choose what we eat. We choose what we wear. We choose who we associate with. We're doing this all the time. And in the process of that, am I staying clean? And I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm talking about pleasing God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about staying in alignment with Jesus. Or are we distinctly different? Or are we just blend into the crowd? Do we go with the flow? Well, everybody else is doing it. You know, this church is doing it, and that church is doing it. And people are trying to stereotype churches, and people are not wanting to follow the Spirit of God and to be distinctly different. If you follow the Spirit of God, you're not going to be like them.
Right.
You're going to be like Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what He's calling for. And you just said an example here in the Old Testament, being distinctly different, being clean in the sight of God, not like the unclean nations that are doing all types of things that's not pleasing to God. The downfall of Israel was not doing things God's way. They wanted to be like other nations. That was their downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a king. People are looking for fleshly stuff. They're not looking for spiritual things. God was their king, but they didn't want Him. Jesus is our king. You know what kings do? They rule.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't want Jesus to rule. And so they want to say, I love Jesus, but I'm not going to let go of the world. Then you're unclean.
This may be silly to some of y'all. But the other thing I've done in reading this, I've read this a few times, to say the least. is I put myself in here. Well, I've had a spot on my arm. I've had a spot. What would I do? Holland, when she was a baby, she had real bad cradle cap. Boy, we would have been at that priest, in front of that priest all the time. Take a look at this. What do you think about this? Are y'all putting yourself in this situation? You think about, wow, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And I'm probably not the only one thinking that way, am I? Let's talk about this flaky skin. I'm going to catch up. We're on verse 35 of chapter 13. But if the scald spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the scald is spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scald is in his sight at a stay, and that there is black hair grown up therein, the scald is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean.
So okay. If the place is brought into question, doesn't appear to be spreading and everything appears to be okay, then they're pronounced clean, right? And so everything brought into question is not necessarily leprosy. Everything brought into question under the law when a person was taken to the priest was not leprosy, but because there was a suspicion, then there had to be an examination. And then there had to be an examination that followed the protocol of God, and God's appointed one is the one who examined, and he determined this is not leprosy, so this person's clean, or this is leprosy, and this person's unclean. Now think of the ramifications of that, and think, this priest could not be in a popularity contest.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to come to you and you say you're unclean, I get out of the camp.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to make everybody happy with you.
Right.
It's not going to make their family happy with you.
Yeah. That's good.
But you have to do it God's way.
That's real good. I hadn't thought about that. Verse 38. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh are darkish white, it is a freckled spot that grows in the skin, he is clean.
Any of you have any scars?
Yeah.
If you've worked, you probably have some scars, okay? Some white spots in your hands, your arms, or wherever the case may be, it's a scar. That's not a leprosy. But if someone sees that and they say, well, you know, that may be leprosy, you better get to the priest. Then the priest looks at it, that's a scar. That's not leprosy. You're clean. Okay? Here again, you can't let other people judge you. The Lord is the righteous judge.
Okay.
And he declares what's clean.
Yeah.
And what's unclean. Amen?
That's very good. Verse 40. We're on verse 40. You ready?
We'll see.
Yeah. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean.
You couldn't wait to get to that one.
I know. He's clean. And he that has hair, his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean.
I'm
praise
clean.
The Lord.
I'm clean, okay? Being bald doesn't make you unclean, right? Being forebald doesn't make you unclean. But I want you to notice something here, and this got my attention. It's going to be in the next verse.
Yeah.
But if there is a soreness in that bald spot, In other words, there's something wrong here. It's not just bald. There's something wrong. You want to go ahead and read that?
And if there is in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore is white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appears in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head.
So it's not the losing of the hair that made one unclean. But if there is a sore that comes up, you know, this thing is leprous by the priest's estimation, then that person is declared to be unclean. Many of you remember the narrative in the scriptures where Elijah has been called away, and Elisha is now taking his place as a prophet in Israel, okay? And these children
mm-hmm.
mock him.
Yeah.
And listen to what they said. Go up. I believe that this has reference to Elijah's ascension. That word had got out that God had called Elijah away. He had gone up with the Lord, okay?
Yeah.
And so in mocking Elisha, know what they say, go up, you bald head. So there's a good possibility from the narrative that Elisha was bald head. But he was not unclean. You understand?
Yeah.
He was a powerful, powerful prophet.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I vindicating myself?
You're clean. We're just playing. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be.
I want you to look at the humiliation that comes with being unclean. It says all lepers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had to cover their lip,
mm-hmm.
wear a mask. Wear a mask. And then they had to say unclean all the time period that they are afflicted with leprosy. Then they have to declare unclean. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. I tell you, the whole time of my life before I really gave my heart to the Lord, inside of me,
mm-hmm.
it was constant. That I was mm-hmm. unclean. You understand? It's just resounding on the inside of you. Maybe not with those particular words, but yet it's conveying that same message. But once you're cleansed, then you can uncover your mouth. Boy, there's a message in that. While you're unclean, keep your mouth covered. Because what's going to come out is not going to be beneficial to people.
Good.
You understand? But once you're clean, now you're in a position to where you can expose your mouth, you can expose your words. It's more than unclean. Thank God I'm clean. Amen?
Yeah, last night I was reading through this, and I got to this 46th verse, and it just stopped me in my tracks. When I read, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. And I made mention to this a little earlier, I guess in the first session. But I immediately thought of 1 John 1:9 about how Jesus cleanses. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to dwell alone without you. But unless Jesus cleanses you, you dwell alone. I don't want to be left to myself. I want Jesus on the inside of me. How scary is that? Boy, that's to be left to yourself, to dwell alone.
So if Jesus hadn't cleansed you, you outside the camp.
Very.
And if you think you're in the camp, you're just deceiving yourself. You're not going to be in the family of God without Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. That's an absolute.
Yeah.
And so, here again, not a play on words, but it's a phrase that I often use. We have to come clean with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like people have such a hard time coming clean with God or coming clean with one another. And what I mean by that is no facades, no lies, no deception, just an integrity. Lord, I need you. You know, but when we prayed before we came out here, it was just on the inside of me, Lord, I mean, I plead ignorant.
Right.
This is bigger than I am.
Right.
I see these things, but do I understand these things? No, I don't understand all these things. So I need the wisdom of God. I need the Spirit of God speaking to me
mm-hmm.
and through me, but to me first.
Mm-hmm.
You with me? No, we need Him or we are unclean outside the camp. And I don't want to be out of fellowship with the Lord. Amen.
Outside of the camp, you were outside of your livelihood,
mm-hmm.
your whole life. You know, Jesus is our life. We don't have life without Him.
Our time's up, so okay. I guess we'll stop here. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
You enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you pray before you.
Amen. Amen.